He put the book down and turned to Mr. Poe. "Strangulatory means
we know what the words mean,"
Stefano shouted. "Then you must know," Klaus said, "that the Mamba du Mal did not kill Uncle Monty. His body didn't have a tenebrous hue. It was as pale as could be." "That's true," Mr. Poe said. "But it doesn't necessarily indicate that Dr. Montgomery was murdered."
"Yes,"
Dr. Lucafont said.
"Perhaps, just this once, the snake didn't feel like bruising its victim."
"It is more likely," Violet said, "that Uncle Monty was killed with these items." She held up the glass vial with the sealed rubber cap. "This vial is labelled Venom du Mal, and it's obviously from Uncle Monty's cabinet of venom samples." She then held up the syringe with the sharp needle. "Stefano, Olaf, took this syringe and injected the venom into Uncle Monty. Then he poked an extra hole so it would look like the snake had bitten him."
"But I loved Dr. Montgomery," Stefano said. "I would have had nothing to gain from his death."
Sometimes when someone tells a ridiculous lie, it is best to ignore it entirely. "When I turn 18, as we all know," Violet continued, ignoring Stefano entirely, "I inherit the Baudelaire fortune, and Stefano intended to get that fortune for himself. It would be easier to do so if we were in a location that was more difficult to trace, such as Peru." Violet held up the small bunch of folded papers. "These are tickets for the Prospero, leaving Hazy Harbour for Peru at 5 o'clock today. That's where Stefano was taking us when we happened to run into you, Mr. Poe." "But Uncle Monty tore up Stefano's ticket to Peru," Klaus said, looking confused. "I saw him." "That's true," Violet said. "That's why he had to get Uncle Monty out of the way." "He killed Uncle Monty." Violet stopped for a minute and shuddered. "He killed Uncle Monty and took this laminated card. It's Monty's membership card for the Herpetological Society. Stefano planned to pose as Uncle Monty to get on board the Prospero and whisk us away to Peru." "But I don't understand," Mr. Poe said. "How did Stefano even know about your fortune?"
"Because he's really Count Olaf," Violet said,
exasperated that she had to explain what she and her siblings and you and I knew the moment Stefano arrived at the house.
"He may have shaved his head and trimmed off his eyebrows, but the only way he could get rid of the tattoo on his left ankle was with this powder puff and hand mirror. There's makeup all over his left ankle to hide the eye, and I'll bet if we rub it with a cloth, we can see the tattoo."
"That's absurd!" Stefano cried.
"We'll see about that," Mr. Poe replied. "Now, who has a cloth?"
"Not me," Klaus said.
"Not me," Violet said.
"Camille,"
Sonny said.
"Well, if nobody has a cloth, we might as well forget the whole thing," Dr. Lucafont said.
But Mr. Poe held up a finger to tell him to wait. To the relief of the Baudelaire orphans, he reached into his pocket and withdrew his handkerchief.
"Your left ankle, please," he said sternly to Stefano.
"But you've been coughing into that all day,"
Stefano said. "It has germs."
"If you are really who the children say you are," Mr. Poe said, "then germs are the least of your problems. Your left ankle, please."
Stefano, and this is the last time, thank goodness, we'll have to call him by his phony name, gave a little growl and pulled his left pants leg up to reveal his ankle. Mr. Poe knelt down and rubbed at it for a few moments. At first nothing appeared to happen, but then, like a sun shining through clouds at the end of a terrible rainstorm, the faint outline of an eye began to appear. Clearer and clearer it grew, until it was as dark as it had been when the orphans first saw it, back when they had lived with Count Olaf. Violet, Klaus, and Sonny all stared at the eye, and the eye stared back. For the first time in their lives, the Baudelaire orphans were happy to see it.